Hi, I'm Kara Jackson, and there are two things I love: carne asada tacos and Vocalo Radio.
You become somebody's bandit, and their heart becomes your loot. What kind of player does that make you?
Hey, it's Vocalo Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative. Nudia in the afternoon here with you. The song we're coming out of, Pawn Shop, is on our Pitchfork playlist for 2024. Pitchfork is this week. If you are going, hope you have the outfits ready. Hope you have everything, you know, your little set list of who you want to see perform. We actually have a performer here in studio with us, the artist of that song we just played, Kara Jackson. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Thank you so much for stopping by Vocalo.
I'm good. How are you? It's really great to be here. I love Vocalo so much.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we love you too. I mean, we are just getting ready for the festival. Festival season is pretty crazy, right? Is it crazy time for you too?
Yeah, I just got back from Europe. I was in Europe for like a month, and so I played some festivals there. And then obviously Pitchfork is coming up this week. So I'm really excited to be playing that festival because it's like my home festival. It's the festival I grew up going to, so I'm really excited.
Is this your first time playing?
Yes, it's my first time.
Okay, because a bunch of artists like you've worked with have played and stuff in the past, right?
Yeah, my friend, actually my collaborators on my album, all of them have played Pitchfork. So my friends Sen Morimoto and Namdi and Kaina, they've all played. So I've kind of like watched my friends over the years take the stage, and that's always such an amazing feeling. But it's also amazing to kind of finally follow in their footsteps and take the stage myself. I'm going to be bringing some of my friends on stage with me too, so I'm excited for that.
I was going to say, so you went to go support them.
Yeah.
So are they going to show up for you this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely going to be a family affair, and some of them are going to be joining me on stage too, and my parents, they're going to be there. So it's, I feel like Pitchfork is such a familial festival for me in general. Like my family and I just go there in general. Over the years we've always gone, and we've seen like Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu and Jamila Woods, another local act and person I love. So it's really always a family affair, and this time it's no different. It's just, you know, I'm on the hot seat this time. So
is it a little bit more nerve-wracking? I mean, you've done festivals now all over the world. Is it more nerve-wracking when you do something in your hometown?
I think it is, honestly. I feel like there's a certain kind of ambiguity that you get when you're in a place that's just so far from home. Like, you know, none of these people know me, and I don't even speak the same language as them sometimes. So you can kind of like be more mysterious, and just like there's not the same attachment. But at home, it's like you're performing in front of friends and sometimes former teachers. Like one time my high school teacher was at one of my shows, and it was so amazing. But I was like, oh my god, that's like nerve-wracking in a different way, because you're kind of like, it's like a talent show more than it is like a show. It's like performing in front of all your friends at school. It's just like a little embarrassing sometimes. But I also think that hometown shows are like the sweetest, because you have like the energy of people who know you, and like you're stepping on stage in a place where people know who you are to an extent. So it definitely has a whole different energy than any other type of show.
I was looking at your bio, because of course you are from, you're from Oak Park, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so born and raised Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in Oak Park my whole life. I was just talking earlier, I've always lived really close to the Green Line, so I've been coming to Chicago for art-related things since, you know, I could remember.
And that's another thing I was wondering, because I, you know, you look at your bio and, you know, singer, songwriter, poet, you're a poet laureate. What was your first passion? Was it the poetry or was it the singing, you know?
I really started singing first. I've always loved music, and my parents raised us really immersed in sounds and music. But I think I've also always had a love for like language and words in some capacity. So I got into poetry really seriously like in high school when I started competing in Louder Than a Bomb and like doing poetry stuff. But I've always been really like into music that's like lyrical and word heavy. Like I've always loved Joni Mitchell, and my parents always played like Jim Croce and just like old folk musicians. So I've always just loved that type of music, and that's just kind of the music I ended up making.
And when did you realize you were good at it? You know, like, when were you like, hold on, I'm better than everyone else? You know, when were you like, hold on, I'm actually, like, really good at this?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've always been a little oblivious to it. I've always loved to make music, and I know that that's something that I've loved to do for a long time, but I didn't really think that it was going to be something that would resonate with other people, like what I was doing. And it took going to slams and like open mics growing up and being at Young Chicago Authors and just being around people who were my peers who were like, you know, hyping me up and like that genuine kind of support from like my friends and my peers, people like Kaina and Sen who helped me make the album, people who are older than me just kind of ushering me in and telling me, oh, you belong in this space. It took that outside kind of validation because I think for me, I was just like, I'm just a girl making songs, you know? But yeah, it really took like community support.
I feel like every artist that has come through here has talked about Young Chicago Authors. Why do you think it's so important for, you know, artists in Chicago to be a part of groups like that?
I think community is really everything for you as an artist. And also, I just think at a really young age, so many people were ushered through spaces like Young Chicago Authors and just being supported by older people, kind of showing you the ropes. I think mentorship and having like a lineage of people to really call on is really important as an artist, to not just name yourself, but to be able to name like the artists that inspire you and people who are around you helping you figure out who you are and lift yourself up. I think having that outlet as a teenager is so important for everyone, but it's just your teenage years are filled with so much angst and just so many things are happening, and to be able to gather with a lot of like-minded people and a lot of people who are just figuring themselves out through art was such a like valuable outlet for me as a teen. And so I think it just gave me a foundation of like what I could really use to process my feelings. And then also seeing people doing it for a living, like you kind of don't know that that's a real possibility and a tangible thing till you're meeting adults who are saying like, oh, you can be an artist or you can be a writer and that's like a real job. I think just encountering that as a young age can really change how people see themselves and how they chase their dreams.
Has your family always been supportive of what you do? Because I think for sometimes it is difficult. They want to encourage you to follow your dreams, but also they're like, we want you to be able to pay your rent, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. But my parents have always been really supportive of me making music. And my mom actually always wanted her kids to make music because she never got the opportunity to be in like music lessons and stuff. So she like made us take piano as kids. But I think that they've always, you know, my parents are in their 60s, so they've always been really practical about things. Like, I had to go to college and get a degree, and, like, they've always placed a big emphasis on being educated and, like, going to school, too. So I definitely had to, like, pay my dues and, like, do all the normal things and whatever. But they've always, you know, let me express myself through art and through music.
And then now that they see everything happening, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be good. I was, you know, looking over your bio. You're like the U.S. National Youth Poet Laureate. Is that like an award? Is that a title?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting title. There's a new Youth Poet Laureate every year, essentially. So I was the laureate between 2019 and 2020. So kind of as the pandemic started, I was like ending my term. It's a really interesting position because you're kind of chosen by like a certain panel of different poets, but the ceremony, at least for us, like every year they do it at the Library of Congress. So I had to like be in this really fancy space and like it's really official and you're in DC. And it was cool because Jellystone Robinson, who was the laureate right before me, is one of my best friends, and we had no idea that we were both gonna serve that role. So it kind of became a friendly, like another family celebration. But yeah, it's just really, you represent the country through your poems and through your crafts, really. And for me, it just looked like doing workshops and performing in different places and different colleges like around the country and stuff.
So you go on like tour. It's like like a Miss America, right? It's like make
a
all
little
these...
bit. Yeah, it's like the Miss America of poetry.
You've kind of been used to touring now and like not really being home often. Is that difficult for you?
Yeah, it can be. I'm really a homebody in a lot of ways. So I feel like tour has challenged me to like get out, and it forces you to see so many different places, which are amazing, but you know, also socializing and doing all those things. So I definitely get tired of it after a while. Like, I'm home from Europe after being there for like 4 weeks, and I'm just really happy to be in my own bed, and all my skincare products are in my bathroom, and I don't have to like put them into a backpack.
Yeah, you didn't forget your hairbrush at a hotel and things like
that. Yeah, it's like just having to remember all the things. Do I have my charger? Do I have everything? And living out of a suitcase, it's definitely a lifestyle, but I definitely love being at home too and hanging out with my parents and everything.
I was going to ask you, we're going to get into your, you know, debut album, but I was going to ask you, how would you describe your music? Because I've read lots of articles, people describe your music in different ways, like some people say folk. Like, how do you describe the music that you make?
Definitely can see my music being described as folk music. I've always grown up listening to all types of music, so I think while the foundation feels like folk and I really just write songs mostly with me and my guitar, I think that there's so many other influences that show themselves. Like, I've loved jazz and R&B and just all types of music. So I think those influences definitely like bleed out in the music too. So it's like folk music that's inspired by like all types of stuff. So I kind of describe it usually as that, but definitely gotten like a lot of, I think genre is such a weird concept these days because so many artists don't really exactly see themselves as just one genre. So I definitely find it interesting to see the different ways that the album is described, because I think you could describe it in like a lot of different ways.
Being from Chicago, or like being in the Chicago music scene, did you ever feel pressure to like rap or make hip hop music just because it's so prevalent in Chicago? I'm always curious. Yeah,
I definitely did. I had a rap phase, actually. I was talking about this on Twitter a few days ago. I grew up like in the era of when I saw Chance the Rapper like become famous in real time, like growing up with that and seeing like No Name and Saba and just like all these really cool people at open mics and stuff, like growing up, and John Doe, just all those artists. Like, I definitely was heavily influenced by that sound, and I think the Chicago rap sound is so layered and like textured also. Like, so many of those rap songs, like, they're using real jazz musicians and like bringing in like a Kenya and like all these just really amazing musicians. So I took a stab at rapping for a while because I was so influenced by No Name and I just was like obsessed with her. So there's definitely some things in the archives, deep in the archives, but
we need to get those clips. And then were you like, you know what, it's just gonna be, I'm gonna leave that to No Name.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Like, I sometimes get tempted to rap again just because I love rap music so much. So I think it comes out, you know, if you've had like a drink or something. But I just think that fundamentally, I always made music with my guitar, and it just got to a point where I just knew that was kind of me at my most comfortable, and making folk music, I think, I was a little embarrassed about it at first because it felt like so like antiquated and like, okay, like it's, everyone is like rapping and doing their thing. And like, I was kind of like shy about it, but it was another thing of my friends supporting me and just like always really taking the time to like invest in what I do, and my friends just supporting what I'm doing. So once I kind of got comfortable performing in front of them, it gave me like the confidence to just be myself musically in front of everyone.
This debut album, it got released in 2023. I mean, there's been lots of reviews. It was named Best New Music by Pitchfork, you know, and it's funny, you're actually doing Pitchfork now. But I was looking at some of the comments on like some interviews you've done, some press you've done, and a lot of people are like, this is my favorite album of the year. I was reading a lot of those. It seems like this album was kind of a long time in the making for you, and for it to get so well received, what was that like?
It was wild. It's still really wild to wrap my head around the reception, because I think I didn't really expect any of it. I mean, you can never really predict what your music is going to do when it's public, but especially when it's like your first album, and, you know, I kind of didn't have that much work out before. So I didn't really expect it to, you know, reach so many people. And so it's been such a blessing to, you know, interact with fans and people who have listened to the album like around the world. It's essentially like, that is such a weird thing for me still, because I'm just very, it sounds funny, but I just am very normal, I guess. Like when I'm at home, I'm like, I don't really think about these things that I'm doing. And to me, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm a 24-year-old trying to like do all these things before my brain is fully developed. It's like trying to just wait for my brain to click in. So.
Yeah, this is fully developed frontal cortex.
Yeah, so I didn't really expect people to resonate with my, you know, like early 20s ramblings, but I really appreciate all the support and everyone who's listened because it's been so amazing. And I'm so happy that this album that I really helped, that really was an effort of friends, and my friends really helped me put this together. It's really cool to see the work that we put into it being received by other people.
Yeah, the album is called Why Does the Earth Give Us People to Love? You do vocals, guitar, banjo, and piano. How many instruments do you know how to play?
Like, I mean, guitar is my main one, but I have always loved like the banjo, and in college I did a little bit of the harp too, so I've always loved like string instruments. At first,
that's crazy.
I never thought I could play an instrument until I got my first guitar, because I was like, my brother plays the trombone and the piano, he's super good at it. I'm not good at the piano. Like, I'm playing piano on the album, but like very chill stuff, you know. Like my friend Sen definitely like is the person
He'll
for the keys. Like, yeah, but
the harp is like one of the hardest instruments to learn how to play.
It's so hard, but it's one of my favorite instruments. So I finally just like got into lessons at my college, and I was like just super excited. I'm trying to get back into them actually, but I just love string instruments. Like, they've always made the most sense to me out of all of them. Like, I tried to play the saxophone, failed miserably. Like, me and the piano have our own
relationship.
Relationship. But I feel like strings have just always been like what does it for me. I don't really know why, but
I love that. And you know, you talked about collaborating with your friends on the album, and this album is actually dedicated to one of your friends that passed, correct?
Yeah.
When you work on the album, do you make it and then you give it a title, or do you kind of have the title in mind like when you're making the album? How's that work?
Yeah, I feel like with this one, it just got to a point where I was like getting the songs together, and I think because I had the title track kind of already made before I knew that I wanted to make that the title of the album, but it just kind of made the most sense like framing wise. Like when I sat down with all the songs, I was like, this kind of is like, this question kind of like is the album, like it's like the thesis of the whole album. I'm like such an English major, I guess, but just like that line, that question kind of felt like it set up the whole album, so it just felt kind of natural. I knew it was like really long, but I just felt like the question was like pretty poignant in terms of just like representing the whole body of work.
Looking at your career and things like that, and with the release of the album, and now you're doing Pitchfork this week, like, what has been one of your highlights? I mean, I see you've, like, opened for Corinne Bailey Ray. Like, you've gone to do festivals overseas. Like, for you, what has been the thing you're like, oh, my gosh, this was, like, I was super stoked at this point?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I think also, like, I have delayed processing sometimes. So, like, I don't even realize, like, I feel like I'm still getting over Corinne Bailey Ray and, like, opening for her, because I've always been obsessed with her music growing up. And then my friend Maya, who the album is dedicated to, like, we always would sing her music. So it just felt like such a, like, emotional thing for me. Like, I get emotional in a private way, but like I think with a lot of my career, I've just really been like, okay, like what's next, like let's do the next thing. But I feel like opening for Corinne Bailey Ray was the first time I like paused in real time and was like really emotional about it, and just like really had a whole moment, because I think life just goes really fast and you kind of don't realize the magnitude of things until like long after. But I feel like that was one moment where I was like, this is wild. Like, I was listening to this woman when I was like 5 years old. Yeah. And now I'm like,
I think
talking
we're all
to her
obsessed
backstage.
With her. Yeah. we're obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Like, and you got to meet her, right? I'm sure. Since
yeah.
The tour.
We got to talk like before shows, and I met her kids and like her mom. It's like so wild that everyone was just so sweet. So it felt like, because I feel like sometimes you can meet people you like love in that way, and it's like, oh
yeah,
this is
don't meet your heroes.
Ruined this for me. But meeting Corinne Bailey Ray has been like, that was such a beautiful experience, and she's so nice, so everyone can rest assured. But yeah, it was such a wild few shows, and I think that's probably, I think that and like playing Glastonbury a couple weeks ago are like some of my most like wild, like brain exploding moments.
Now, after Pitchfork, do you get a break or are you back on the road?
I feel like I keep telling people I have a break, but to me, it just means I'm not on tour for weeks at a time. But I play Pitchfork, and then basically a week later, I play a festival in Ohio, Nelsonville. So I'm going to play that festival. And then after that, I'll head to Seattle and Portland. I have a couple like festival things there. And then I'm kind of done until the end of August. And then I'm done for September. I mean, I'm going to be working on music stuff, but I'm done with shows until like mid-October. So I kind of, for me, that's like a break. Because last year I was touring like September, October, November. So I have September, no tour dates. So I'm looking forward to that.
When you come back home to Chicago, what's your first like foodie stop? Like where you're like, when I get back home, we're going to order we're going to pull up to Harold's, like where, like for you, what's the place where you're like, yeah, I miss that spot?
Well, this is in Melrose, but my whole family is obsessed with this taco spot, Don Alfredo. And I think for me, it gets to a point, unless I'm in like LA or something, like in Europe, I always get to a point where I'm just like, I need a taco, because there's the taco drought over there is really serious. So like, I come back needing like taco asada, like stat, like before I even get off the plane, I'm like texting my parents, like, can somebody please
make
run?
Sure it's there when I get home.
I need it like on the counter, like as soon as I'm back with some like lime and everything. Like I feel like that's like my biggest, I think touring has taught me I can't live in a place where I can't get tacos easily. Because it's just serious for me.
That's an important, you know what's funny? When I moved to Chicago, I didn't know that the tacos hit like this.
Yeah.
Because I'm from LA and I was like, oh, yeah. I could do this, you know? Look, if you've been born and raised in Chicago, you are spoiled. For sure. Do not go anywhere else because you will be disappointed.
Mad, yeah. I've been a lot of places that are beautiful, but it's like, where's the food at?
I love that. And so you're going to be at Pitchfork. What day, what stage, so people could, you know, clock it, make sure to check you out?
I'm on Saturday, and I play at 2:30, and I'm on the green stage, so I'm really excited. But I think that in my head, I just keep on thinking that I'm going to the festival as a spectator, because I'm just so used to going just with my friends, and I keep on having to be like, oh, wait, like, we have a sound check and like have to like actually be present to perform. So it's really wild, but I'm so excited for that day. I think Wednesday plays that day, and Lorraine, this artist I really love. So I think Saturday is going to be, and Carly Rae Jepsen too. So,
oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm excited for that day.
Where could people find you on socials? Keep up with you.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. My at is Kara, K-A-R-A-K-A-R-A. And I am on Twitter sometimes, but I feel like my Twitter is ridiculous. But Frida Halo.
Mine is just House of the Dragon right now. That's just,
honestly, that's really wholesome and great.
And we're going to finish off this interview with your song, No Fun. Can you tell us a little bit about this song before you play it?
Yeah, so this was the first single that we put out for the album, and I think it kind of really sets up the album. It's one of the first songs that you hear on it. It's like very standard, like heartbreak, kind of trying to pull yourself out of the insecurities that come with being strung along by somebody. And then, yeah, you kind of have to just get through those feelings and rise above them and kind of accept that even if someone doesn't like you, you just have to accept that that's who you are, essentially.
Thank you so much, Kara, for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we're super excited to catch you at Pitchfork. And here is your song, No Fun, on Vocalo Radio.
It's hard to have patience when you're waiting on luck, like a postal truck. Like a postal truck.